I'm overwhelmed with how real this is. I'm overwhelmed with how true and sincere the love of our Savior is to us. I pray in Jesus' name as we begin this study tonight in Revelation that this isn't just a get to know the facts. This truly, God has provided for us. I'll give an analogy of if you've ever really been in love to receive those letters, notes from your lover, whether it be in a mailbox, whether it be on a text, a letter on a phone. But when you were expecting that and there it arrived, how it captivated your heart. Didn't matter. Everything stopped which was going on, but yet that ministering of that love, that desire of your heart, and hearing the desire of the one you love, that heart for you. And I pray tonight that we see these things of what he has prepared for us who believe him, what he has in store for us, the lines upon lines and the lines within the lines of his love for you, the captivated heart that God really has for us and the captivated heart he wants us to have for him. He can't help himself. He forgave our iniquities for his sake. He was so in love, praise God, and is so in love. So, last week in the 21st chapter, we concluded in that all-glorious verse of verse 23, where it said, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." There's no other glory that's necessary. You think about our planet and everything that we have, truly predicated on two main events that happen in day and night. That sun warms, gives us temperature, winds, different things of that nature. And then the moon at night is doing similar things. Believe it or not. Everything that God has provided in those two spectacular entities, those two spectacular luminaries, and there's no need for that anymore. And here we have in this 23rd verse, everything is provided. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We've been reading of the hidden mystery of Paul's gospel. We've been reading of the writings of the Old Testament's prophets that they wrote those things for us. I thank God as we concluded last week, we could read that end of that verse. The glory of the Lamb's wife did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light of her. That love, that fulfilling of everything provides, praise God, for everything that will ever be. They rule and reign jointly together. They are glorified together. Everything that will go on in all of eternities to come, they will do together. Praise be to God. But in the heart of her, the readied wife, that is even going on right now. In spirit, praise God, he takes us there, does he not? In spirit and truth, praise God, he gushes that love abroad in our hearts to receive that. Now going on into this 24th verse, we have a little transition here. We move from New Jerusalem to the new earth that he has made. Remember that the New Jerusalem descends from heaven. And that foundation of that wonderful New Jerusalem sits right upon that new earth. They're enjoined in some magnificent way of glory. And now through that enjoining, we are here and going to see the activity and the glory that is received from the new earth. So let's turn our attention to that in verse 24 of chapter 21. It says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it," meaning the light of New Jerusalem. "And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into the city. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, but there shall be no, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. How wonderful. More accurately, as we start this off, it's the nations of the saved. The nations of the saved. These are the sheep nations, brothers and sisters, that were revealed at the end of the millennial time. And praise be to God, that's all that is going on into that eternal age on this new earth. There is no more devil, there is no more sin, there is nothing of a lie, there's no feigned obedience. It's just Jesus, the Word of God. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. Praise be to God. Now let's recall once again, at the end of the millennial time, at the end of that 1,000 years, it says Satan is loosed from that bottomless pit for a short season. And he goes on and he is allowed to deceive the world. And when he deceives the world at that time, there are nations that follow after him. And those nations are called goat nations. But the sheep nations don't follow after him. Even though there's been that 1,000-year period in the millennial time of great peace, there have been ones at that time, nations, that had a feigned obedience. They just went along with it because they had to. But there was no heartfelt yielding. There was no true believing in the blood of the Lamb. But God in his faithfulness knows exactly what needs to happen. And in this glory that will be, we see that these goat nations were revealed. Now those goat nations were separated out from among the sheep nations at the end of the millennium. And then those goat nations, along with the devil, all those that were not found in the book of life, were all cast, that and hell, were all cast into the eternal lake of fire. Now, think for a moment. All of that was cast into the lake of fire. So now what is remaining on the earth, praise God, are these saved nations. All that remains on the earth are those that were the overcomers of the church of Thyatira. All those that remain upon the earth, praise God, are those known as the five foolish virgins that went on into that eternal time that will be upon that new earth. You have to remember this. All of the church is part of New Jerusalem. Everyone else in that regard that would be upon that earth in the dwelling would be known as the earth dwellers, those that did not, again, or were not part of that church. Now, we see very clearly, as the Word of God tells us, that the five foolish virgins that are of this earth, they had lamps, it said, but they had no oil. They had, in a sense, not received the Holy Ghost and were not ready for the marriage feast, as to be guests for the marriage feast, as were the five wise virgins, which were the 144,000. They were raptured and made part of the church, that 144,000, part of New Jerusalem. But the lesser rank here are the earth dwellers that go into that eternal age. So let's go back and let's read from Revelation 2:26 of who will make up these nations. And in 2:26 it says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Now this is wonderful and marvelous, brothers and sisters. Even though this is the lesser of all the ranks, you have to think here, what a place of reigning that they will have throughout eternity. I'm grateful to God that he is forever faithful. That a son of God is an heir. Heir, there's inheritance there, praise God. And I thank the Lord that in that inheritance, there will be great rejoicing. There will be satisfaction that will be beyond anything we could ever ask or think. But notice also, as we go back to that first chapter in those verses we've just read. Notice it says the glory and the honor. It kept saying the glory and the honor. And the nations of them which are saved, back in verse 24, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Goes on to say in verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So we have all of this glory and all of this honor being brought into this new Jerusalem. Now, specifically notice here it says their glory and their honor. The glory of the and glory and honor of the nations. The glory of what God has given and done for them. But notice how wonderful the difference of the Lamb, the Lamb's wife glory. Hers is the glory of God. They have His glory to bring, but she is His personal glory. Praise God. There's a difference there. She is the vessel only for His use. I'd like you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And this will make it a little clearer, I believe, as well, too, about this glory and honor we're speaking of, and this glory and honor time, and this glory and honor faith that we can have at this time if we'll allow the Lord to work it in us. In 1 Peter 1:7, it says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, there's a glory and honor faith to give to Him. There is a glory and honor faith that's being worked right now, especially in the bride. Going back over to Revelation 4:9, do you remember the company that gives Him honor and glory? Well, here is that company, Revelation 4, verse 9. And when those beasts, the four living ones, the bridal company, give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. This is the glory and honor faith. It's amazing, brothers and sisters, what can be given to our Lord because of the grace of God that works that in us. Go on over now to verse 12, the beast gave the glory and honor and thanks, but in chapter 5, verse 12, it says, well, go back to verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, 100 million, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. See, those ones that were observing around the throne, they were observing, praise God, the bride giving glory and honor to Him. And now they're all rejoicing and giving thanks, praising the Lord and praising, praise God, the Lamb, because He was worthy to receive that power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. How intimate will this be for you? Isn't that truly when we get together, even at a marriage, aren't we as guests rejoicing because of the glory and honor, in a sense, the bride and the groom bring to one another? The glory of that union, the honor that they're bringing to one another and honoring God, all of that that's typed and shadowed, are not the guests that truly would be in tune, are they not happy and giving praise and thanks for that love and that union? Praise be to God. It's going to be someday. Now, as we move on, notice back in chapter 21, it says, there is never night, and the gates are always open in New Jerusalem, always receiving the glory and honor. That praise to Him and His wife shall never end. I believe it's much like typed with Joseph with his brothers bowing down before him. I know that's of our Lord, but I believe so sweetly the word of his grace that says that I will share in that with him forever. Those were Joseph's brethren that were bowing down to him. The bride, the Lamb's wife, will be alongside her husband. Can we see the vision even of the monarchs that we have seen throughout our history here upon this earth? Sitting upon that throne is a king and a queen. And here come all the nobles of the land. And what do? They bring them gifts. They bestow to them honor. They bestow to them the glory that is due to them. How wonderful that he will make known forever and to all that he has loved her, and she will be glorified together with him forever. This is what's going on here. This is the glory and honor that's being brought into this city. It's the glory and honor that will never end for the Lamb and his wife. He better quicken you. I'm surprised we wouldn't be standing up on our pews right now thanking God. Chew on it, because that's Paul's gospel, and it's here, praise the Lord. Now, let's go on to verse 27. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or works a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. He confirms to us here once again that sin is gone. Anything that works a lie is swallowed up. It's only about and all those who were written in the Lamb's book of life, those who are written in the blood of the Lamb. How wonderful. And I have to say how I long to have that fellowship with him and the saints. Oh, what it will be to be there. Praise God. Now, we'll be in glorified bodies like unto his own glorious body. But see the beauty here. When the Lord takes us home to heaven, we exit the presence of sin. When we go into this eternal age, we'll exit and be in a place and a time that there will be no existence or remembrance of sin. Amen. What a place and time this will be. This is why faith is authored and finished here. It's, praise God, it's not the faith in the ages to come. It's the exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come. How wonderful. I'm sad for people to think that somehow, some way, there's going to be some more faith in believing in different things of that nature that different religions will put upon people. Different places that they could go and holding tanks or whatever it may be. I don't know. But, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, when we see him, our faith will be made whole. Our faith will be made sight. And we will be like him and have a glorious body like unto his own. And I thank the Lord, our wonderful Savior, that he will have that for us with him someday. Now, let's go on to chapter 22. And it says there, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, we were there looking at the new earth. Now we're right back into New Jerusalem again. So here we are looking at this wonderful vision that we have here of verse 1. The wonderful vision that we see here, first of all, is the Trinity. We have God, we have the Lamb, and then we have the wonderful Holy Ghost, that water that proceeds out of the throne. And this is wondrous, brothers and sisters, as we go into the eternal age, all things are fulfilled. And notice here, it says, out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is very significant here. Every time we have heard out of the throne in Revelation, which I believe has been three different times prior to this, it's always speaking of those seven angels that God sends out of the throne. Isn't it wonderful? It's so magnificent, brothers and sisters, the harmony, the ruling and reigning that will be hers. That's what comes out of the throne. Think of what the Lord sent to us out of the throne when he sat at the right hand of God. He sent us the Holy Ghost. Amen? He sent us this precious, wonderful, this river that he's speaking of. He gave that to us even here. See, we don't have to wait for this river. We're drinking of it right now. We're drinking of, praise God, spirit and truth doctrine right now. And where does spirit and truth, full grace and glory doctrine lead you to? The midst of the throne. It can't lead anywhere else. It all proceeds from there. It's all ours. Praise God. He has given that so fully to us. And notice here the encouragement. It says, the pure river, the water of life, clear as crystal. What do you want to hear when you go to church? What do you want to hear when, if thinking about, I want to know the Bible. I want to go on with the Lord. What is it that we want to hear? Well, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That depth, brothers and sisters, that pure, as it says here, the pure river, the water of life, clear as crystal. This is the abundance of spirit in truth. And it is going on right now for us. This is the Holy Ghost water of truth and love. And if we will keep on drinking it, praise be to God, it's right into the midst of the throne glory. How wonderful. I thank the Lord. I think of that. If you were to talk to people that are Christians, would you not say that, yeah, I want the pure river. I want that water of life. I want the whole counsel of God. I want word anointed in the Spirit. I don't want to hear causes. I don't want to hear man's thoughts. I don't want to have any leaven. I don't want to hear how you perceive that somehow you're going to manipulate the word of God to control people. I want to hear the word of God. And brothers and sisters, we need to fight for this, that good fight of faith. Truly relying upon the all-powerful grace of God to give us that desire to go after it. This past week, I had a call that so sad to me. A brother had reached out to someone and that really had grown up and known and ministered, yea, the deep things of God. But yet where they've ended up by not going after this pure river, where they've ended up not going after this wonderful encouragement where it says here, this river of crystal. When we get off onto tangents, when we begin to bring the leaven in, when we begin to, well, I'm going to be made perfect by the flesh, you're not drinking out of the pure river. You're living on scraps and sips and different things, but you get sick. You can get bewitched. And when you leave Paul's gospel, when you leave the grace of God, when you shun that grace for your life, it's a bewitching. And it was just grievous to my heart to think where a life can end up. So cold, so hateful, so embittered in bitterness and blind as can be. Truly embracing hate. Nowhere near this river and nowhere near the midst of the throne at the end. Brothers and sisters, this precious river, clear as crystal, is the only way to ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. So beautiful here is the word, clear to the light, sincere, transparent. It's all him. That's what's so wonderful. Isn't it beautiful? I think about again this, the Holy Ghost. All the Holy Ghost can do, the so beautiful of the power of God, is to only take the things of Christ and make them ours. The Holy Ghost does not point to himself. He doesn't try to, oh, look at me. He only wants you to look at the Lamb. Isn't that wonderful? And the same, praise God, for those who will feast upon that truth in love, that will feast upon that Spirit in truth, because they've been drinking of that river. The only thing they can be is transparent too. Everything about the life just points to him. Everything about the life is quickened, praise God, in the beauty of the Lamb. Only the word of the Lord can do these things. It's only the word of the Lord that is present. Praise God, transparent. That's that beautiful, clear as crystal. That abundance of beauty, the word, hallelujah. And it's so wonderful, that word clear. It's also the same word as the garments of the Lamb and his wife. It's the word lampros. Isn't that beautiful? See, it tells you it's clear, it's transparent, yet it's that most glorious white. The garments, once again, that were only worn by the bride and are only worn by the Lamb. None other. Not the 24, not the innumerable multitude, not the 144,000. They have a leukos. That means it's a brilliant white. But the lampros is the all-glorious white. Thank you, Lord. This is that brilliance of it. But it's so brilliant, it's transparent. Because the only brilliance of everything is him, praise be to God. Now, it is the most excellent, it is the most illustrious. And notice here it says a crystal, and that means a stone that is most precious. All that comes out of the throne where the king and the queen reside is this. It's the glorious, it's the lampros white. It's the glory of the transparency. Everything that provides, hallelujah, for that city comes from that throne. Now, let's go back to Ezekiel. We'll kind of conclude a little bit with this tonight. Thinking of this river and how beautiful this river is and how we see all of the type and shadow in this river. The same garments as the bride, amen. The sincere, clear to the light as the bride, amen. That Holy Ghost, Spirit, and truth doctrine that flows out, praise God. And where does it flow from? Where does that river originate? It's the throne of God. So now we go back to our precious studies in Ezekiel of the four living ones. The bride of Christ, that type of the company that's revealed at this place. Now, in Ezekiel 1:1, let's read this. This is when Ezekiel is taken out and shown this wonderful vision of the four living ones. Now, it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. So it begins there at this wonderful, incredible river that we see what? The throne of God. We see this vision. We see all of this that's going to transpire about the throne and the four living ones. If you go on over to Ezekiel chapter 10, move over there with me just for a moment. We'll go on and just take some bits and pieces of this river, the four living ones, which represent the bridal saints. Now, in chapter 10, verse 15, it says, and the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kabar. All right. Now go down to verse 20. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kabar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. Kabar means far off. This is the far off river. This river is so far off from the camp that, matter of fact, this river, praise God, proceeds from the throne of God. This is the river that goes out from the throne. This is the river, praise God, that proceeds with all the glory. Go back over to chapter 3 of Ezekiel, verse 23. This was what Ezekiel said about the glory that was at this river. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Kabar, and I fell on my face. It was the same glory of the Lord, was the same glory of the cherubim that he saw at the river. And what only could Ezekiel do? Fall upon his face. Kind of reminds you a little bit about John walking around Revelation, huh? In heaven. As that angel continued to show him around, what did he keep doing? Falling down upon his face. She has his glory. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. This is yours. This is mine. This is that shared beauty. See, you think about getting entangled in the things of this life. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Do you see how crazy and nuts I would be to preach any other doctrine? When it's this glorious, why would we want to look at anything else? How could we? Oh, we could walk through it and look at it in different ways. And I thank God, however, Christ is preached. But I sure praise God when Christ is preached in Paul's gospel. I thank God when I hear, and by the grace of God, the Spirit gives the unction. And we see the glory of his grace doctrine. And here we have it again, that you can't deny. Praise God. Ezekiel is falling on his face because he can't do anything else, because the glory of the Lord is so immense from those cherubim. It was the same glory that he saw when he saw the Lord was when he saw the cherubim, because it is the same glory. It's his. There is no other glory but the Lord's. Amen. Because she's the vessel to the praise and the glory of his grace. That's how you emit that. Because what is grace? Grace makes you transparent, because everything would be of the Lord. Amen? Nothing deserved, nothing merited. There is nothing you worked. So you are a transparent vessel only of the grace of God, giving glory to God, praising him for this overwhelming truth. And the thing that's overwhelming, as I was saying, is, Lord, it's mine. Overwhelming. Praise God. I was reminded as I was up fishing a couple weeks ago. I mentioned that little stream that the Lord takes me on up there by Steamboat. And each time I go in there, here come the sheep. And it's so sweet. They come on down in there and they get down into that stream and they're drinking that water. And I just love it. It makes my heart leap in the thankfulness to God. You know, there's some standing up on the tops and wandering around and they don't even know what they're doing. But there's ones that are bent. I'm getting to the river. I'm going to drink. I want to stay right there. I don't care if that crazy fisherman's down there. I'm going to drink. Some of them sheep are pretty big too. But it's wonderful that Kabar River, the far off river, And how true the cherubim and those of cherubim faith. We're far off now. We're not from here, are we? We get a little bit more alien every day. It's true. And I thank the Lord. There are things that used to concern me, bother me about this life. Oh, whom he has made free is free indeed. There were things, there were causes that were good that you'd like to see different in certain ways, but I'm not from here. And I understand, too, that he's got a new heaven and a new earth coming. It's almost here. And I want to be that glory to him. He's been so glorious to me, giving me this wonderful message of his glory and grace. I want to get so far out there that someday I'm going to be so far out, it'll be the midst of the throne and a blast of a trumpet. But you see the readied wife. She's already here in spirit. See, that's what he was encouraging John. John was taken there, how? By the Spirit. Go there now. This is where we're at right now. We're there. We're in the throne room right now. I'm telling you, on Sunday morning, when you were singing Sweet Bob with Stacy and Brother Ken, I saw two big wings coming out of them organs. Two big wings. Just faintly see it. Yeah, they'll have visions. They'll see some things. And that's true. But you see, brothers and sisters, she's hidden for him right now. I got to thinking about Moses as he walked down off that mount after talking with God. He had to cover his face with a veil because the glory of his face shone so bright. Scared the people of God. Well, I'll tell you, she's hidden right now. Because I think if she was revealed right now to this earth, it would scare the people. But she's going to be revealed soon. And oh, the glory that will be, the glory from his love, and the glory that will be because of the glory of his judgment. His judgment's going to be glorious because he has his queen. It's going to be glorious. Things will not only be made right, they will be made whole. Whole, finished. As that wonderful, sweet angel came out and said, "It is done. Done." And she will be that glory with him. Yes, praise be to God. It's all glory. It's all glory. And I am thankful to the Lord we're taking a little bit of time through here. Because I have to tell you, I hadn't seen all this glory before. I'm thanking God I'm beginning to see a little bit more glory. Because of his grace all the time. That wonderful, all-powerful grace of God that causes me to believe, that causes me to see. Oh, the grace that sees, the grace that gives me peace and rest, the grace that causes me to be patient, the grace that causes me to abound in hope, the grace, thank the Lord, that, Lord, I'll wait. I'll wait for you because this is true. His word is true. We're getting into, yea, the deep things of God. Children won't understand this. Teenagers aren't going to put up with it because they won't pay attention. But the lovers, they'll sit down and say, yes, I'll chew on this. I'll believe this because your word has said it is so. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we need encouragement in the line upon line. We're in the last times. We cannot get distracted. Don't want to get off in any type of a venture that wouldn't be those straight feet along with the Spirit. And you know what? I need to be encouraged the much the more in this. In more line upon line. In hearing those things. But yet, by the grace of God, to see from another perfect angle. And every, just the beauty from every dimension. Every facet of that diamond. And as I was rejoicing, I think it was on Sunday night, the Lord woke me up. What an exceeding eternal weight of glory. We're talking about that city made of transparent gold. 3.2 billion cubic miles of it. I can't even fathom the weight of that city. But that's the glory that she is with Him. That's the glory that she is to Him. Because He has to have those lively stones. He has to have the lively stones. And He's gathering them up. He's gathering you up for that. Do you see it? Do you see it, honey? Praise God. Let's pray. Brother Scott, you pray for me.